I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. We do want to thank, I know last week we had the flowers here from the Ladons of Gaydon that gave this to us. And from what I understood, they go to, last year they gave us this, a plant like this. And I know every year, I mean every church, I think, in Gaydon, is that right? They bring flowers to. That is really nice. And so, you know, if you see anybody that you know of that is in part of that group, you know, just tell them thank you. Tell them thank you. Because, you know, they don't have to. And we appreciate them doing that. And we do want to welcome all Facebook people that are watching. And we just pray the blessings of God upon you and your family. And if you don't have a church, come here. We'll accept you. Amen. We want you. Amen. Praise God. Well, if you would, I want you to turn to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. We're going to be reading the first two verses, some familiar scripture. You know, we, Jelaine and I, want to wish you a very Merry Christmas. And we hope you have a great day that day. You know, Christmas is a time where family and friends, you know, gather on that day, the day before Christmas Eve, or a week before, or even sometimes after, you know. They gather together, you know, because they say, hey, that we can get good sales, you know, and stuff. We can buy those gifts and bring them, you know. So, whatever the case is. But Christmas is a time where we gather together and, you know, for the most part, we just thank the Lord for what he's given unto us. I know we have Thanksgiving and we give thanks, but also a time of where we thank God for giving the gift of his son to us. And we thank our families for who they are, you know. Some we like for them to change a little bit, but that's okay. And so we just thank God, and we gather together. And a lot of times, you know, this is a time when we eat a lot of food, you know. There's a lot of food being given, a lot of dessert stuff, a lot of sugar rolling around this place, you know. But, you know, it's a time of happy times. But also it could be a time where, you know, it's kind of a little sad for some people, maybe because they've lost, you know, especially as you get older, you know, you lose family and friends. But I tell you what, don't focus on the loss that you have. Focus on Jesus, who you have as your Savior and Lord. And one day you'll meet them in heaven. Ooh, Jesus and those loved ones. But I know it's a hard thing because, you see, especially during the holidays, we'd like to see maybe a mother or a father or a brother or a sister or even a child, you know, or grandchildren, and they're not there. And so sometimes, you know, you just start to think back, and, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that, to think back and to think of the good things, you know, and thank God for all that he's given unto you. Don't look at the bad circumstances. Look at the good. Look at the good. Because, you know, they say one of the worst times for depression and stuff is December, you know, because of the thinking of that. But there's one thing they get wrong is that we have Jesus Christ, the light of the world that lives in us, that gives us hope. And gives us a desire to follow him. So Christmas is a time where we gather together, and we open gifts, and we do all kinds of things. But God has given us some scripture. It says in John 3:16 and 17, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." Let me just stop there. People, you know, we live, you know, it's 2,000 years ago that Jesus was born, over a little over 2,000 years ago. you know, the father didn't have to give his son. He didn't have to give his son for us. You know, we thank God, but it says the reason he gave his son to us as we celebrate is because of the love in his heart for humanity. Because, you know, like I've spoken to you before, every time the devil looks at us, he sees Jesus in us. He sees the reflection of the mirror of Jesus Christ, because we're made in the form and in the likeness of our Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. And so that's why the devil hates humanity. And that's why he says he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But God says in that same verse that he's come to give us life, and so that we would have it more abundantly. You see, the life giver is the one that has love towards his people. Is the life giver, the Father, that has given his Son for us. Because he loved us. For God so loved the world that he gave his own God. And what's amazing is this. He loved us even though we were rejecting him. That's an amazing thing. You know, hey, look. We walk down the road and we meet some people, and they reject us, throw them off, and we go on. Hey, no love lost there. Hey, okay, you don't want to be my friend over there. You know? Not that we hate them, but hey, look, go. But God's not like that. He gave before we even thought of him. He gave his son. As we're going to celebrate, as we do every year on the 25th, that Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, Emmanuel, God with us, was born on that day. My God, a celebration. And yet we see how God chose Mary. God chose Joseph. Chose them. He just did, let me throw a dart and see who I'm going to get. Handpicked them to be the mother of our Lord and Savior. Handpicked Joseph to be the father, if you want to say it that way. Okay. My God, what a God we serve. What a God we serve. For God so loved the world, people, the love of the Father towards us. If he can love us that much when we were sinners and full of hate and hateful people, how much more does he love us now that we've given our hearts to him, that we're serving him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, that we're giving everything to him to the best of our ability as we put our faith and trust in what Jesus did at Calvary's cross? How much more does God love us now? My God, it would amaze us. I wish one day God would take the veil off of our eyes to see the actual love, which he showed us a little bit through his son Jesus being born. But if we could see the love of the Father that he has towards us, that we would never run from him ever again. That we would never reject him ever again. We would never say no to him ever again. But we would follow him because of his love towards us and how he cares about every single aspect of our hearts and our lives. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. My God. Everlasting life in the Father. Only because we trust him. This is a good, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's an amazing thing. You know what? God didn't send his Son to condemn the world. Even though sometimes we feel condemned, we feel that way, that God didn't send his Son to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved, that they would accept him as Lord and Savior and be saved. What a God we serve, people. We don't serve no little God that has nothing to do with us. We serve a God that has died for us. We serve a God that was born in the flesh for us. We serve a God that conquered death, hell, and the grave. We serve a God that conquered old Slewfoot on our behalf, people. We serve a God that went after he died on the cross, went to the parts of hell, and took God's people back and rescued them and brought them to heaven with him. That's the kind of God we serve. We serve a God that has now the keys of death and hell in his hand. He is the one that is in control of things. That's the kind of God we serve, that conquered the enemy. Now you can have victory in every aspect and every part of your life, only because the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ, no other one, has been born. And not just because he was born. You know, Jesus could have been born, which we know he was, but without the cross. Without the shedding of blood is no remission of sin. The cross had to come. The cross had to come. But he had to be born. Can you imagine God in the flesh being born? Can you imagine that? That is far beyond. I believe it. But that is far beyond us. And that's far beyond anybody, far beyond that God actually was born. Can you believe that? That he, you're coming out of the room. She wants to hear the word, but okay. That God actually came. Not born. That your Savior was born. Hey, look. The Father could have turned to the Son and said, I want you to go, and the Son didn't have to come. He didn't have to come. But he knew he would have to come and be born of the flesh so that we could have deliverance and forgiveness of sins, to be wiped clean forever like we've never done anything wrong ever before. That's the kind of God we serve. That God would allow his Son to and die upon the cross for us. Now look at this. I want you to turn, if you would. You know, mark these scriptures down. You need to know these scriptures. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Salvation through Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Apostle Paul was the one that wrote, you know, 1st and 2nd Corinthians. And he wrote this book to the Corinthian church, the Corinthians, you know. That's the Corinthian church, you know, that he wrote it to. That means he took the time, moved on by the Spirit of the Lord, and he would pin down the scriptures, because they pinned it down under the unction, under the power, under the Spirit of God, and wrote these scriptures down. What scriptures? It was letters that he wrote down, a letter to the Corinthian church, and it was delivered to the Corinthians. And they would read it to that church. That's why just about every book that is written to the churches are different. They have some similarities because they went through certain things, but they were all different because it's different people. You know, if the Spirit of God would write a letter to this church, I would expect it to be like no other letter written to any other church. Because people are different. I am different from other pastors. You are different from other people. Everybody's different. So God would tune it in to what needed to be said and done in lifting us up in the areas that we're doing well, and give us correction in areas that need to be corrected and put in the right direction. But here we see in 2 Corinthians, Paul writes the letter to the Corinthian church. And we have to remember now, Paul was trained under Gamaliel, which was the great rabbi. So he was very intelligent man, very intelligent. He was a keen thinker. He had a broad vocabulary, you know, because he was very educated in the things of law. He was a master of the Greek language, and he was a very capable writer. So he writes this. It says in verse 15, "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." It's kind of an odd thing that he's writing this and he says, unspeakable gift. Now, we know this is a time of Christmas time where we go around and we give gifts, you know, to people maybe that are close to us, family, if we can. Giving gifts of all kinds, you know. And people giving gifts to us, you know, whatever, you know, vice versa. So, but here we see in this scripture that Paul is saying to the Corinthian church, God has given you a gift. It's unspeakable, undescribable, unspeakable gift that I'm given unto you, that was given unto you, which is talking about Jesus Christ being born, the gift that he gave to us. You know, as we celebrate the birth of our Savior, always remember that it was a gift that was given to humanity by God. And when you look at it that way, it's not something that you just, oh, well, okay, let's win. Oh, well, thank you, let's win. But when we think of how valuable a gift it is, the most valuable gift ever known ever to mankind. You know, think of the best gift you ever got. I mean, I'm talking about somebody gave you something to, you know, you have to wrap it up. You know, I remember for Haley's graduation, she walks out and they had a big bow on a car. You know, they were looking at cars and she went online and all of a sudden it was sold. And boy, she was depressed. They had bought it for her and surprised her. You should have saw her face. I mean, look, who doesn't want a new car? Just give it to you. Everybody wants one. We'll take it. Just, you know, that's very valuable to her. And that is valuable. You know, when somebody gives you something, no matter what it is, it's valuable. You know. But we need to realize this. Undescribable gift, unspeakable gift that God has given unto us. It far outweighs anything materialistic upon this earth. Behold, it's a gift that God has given unto us. As we read, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. A gift. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. And that's all Paul could describe to the people. We know it was by the Holy Spirit. And he said, it's a gift to you. People, we don't get into hustle and bustle of all kinds of stuff. There's nothing wrong with that. And leave out the main focus, which is Jesus Christ being born. That's the main focus. That's the gift that God has given to humanity. And whoever accepts it, as it says in John 3:17, will have salvation. Whoever accepts Christ as their Lord and Savior, will have salvation. What a God we serve. The gift that God has given unto us. Don't think of it when you wake up December 25th and you wake up to smelling all kind of good food cooking. Lord. You get up. But don't forget the reason it's suffering. People, if we lose it, the world will care less. We gotta always put in the forefront. It's the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Keep it first in your heart and life. Keep it first. It's the birth. There's nothing wrong with gifts. There's nothing wrong with whatever. Putting up Christmas tree, whatever, all that stuff, you know. But I tell you what, the most important thing is we can't forget that it is the birth of our Lord and Savior. Given to us as a gift from God the Father to humanity. And we have to take that gift and treasure it for what he's given unto us. Because he didn't have to. But because, it says in John 3:16, he loves us. He cares about us. He wants to do things for us. He wants to take care of us. He wants to lead us and guide us. That's the kind of God we serve. A gift unto us. That we treasure that gift. And that gift now lives in the hearts and lives of Christians here in Gaydon, in Kaplan, Louisiana, throughout America, throughout the world, because of him being born and dying upon the cross. The gift that was given to us, that we can't forget who he is. You know, years later, it says that about 2 years later or so, we haven't had a range. The wise men, they think the ring, it could be whatever. It doesn't matter. I don't think that really matters. But because they had three gifts, they found our Lord and Savior, and they gave him peace. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. What's the greatest gift you can give to your God? What's the greatest gift you can give to him? Probably the greatest gift we can bring and say, well, I'll give my car, my house, and those things. Okay, Lord, yeah, okay. But the greatest gift God wants from us is just us. It says, God, for God so loved the world, he loves people. Doesn't matter what color we are, doesn't matter what language we speak. Doesn't matter where we live, if we live in the north or the south. The south is better, but we'll let others live in the north. Doesn't matter where we live. It doesn't even matter to him the occupation he wants to do, but the main thing is this, is us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Now let's look at some scriptures. I want you to turn, if you would, to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, which is one of the accounts of our Lord and Savior being born. We often take for granted that, we believe, yes, our Lord was born. But you have to remember, not everybody believes he was born. Or he was born and not the Savior of the world. He was just born. So you see, we got to make sure we keep things straight with the Word. That he was born, but he was born the Savior. He was born to die. We are born to die to self. And let God live in us and through us. But in Luke chapter 2, it says this. I just want to read the account. And you might want to read this on December 25th or 24th, in those areas. It says this in verse 8. And there went the same, verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her first son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country, verse 8, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings and great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. And it came to pass as the angels were going away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph, and the baby lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, or they saw him, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they who heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all things, these things, and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Here we see the birth of our Lord and Savior. We cannot ever forget. We know Mary and Joseph had to go to their homeland because of the lineage of David to pay their taxes. And she was up and about to have her child, so she had to ride this donkey, which was a hard, hard thing for her. You know, every time God will ask you and I to do something, and I hate to use the word ask because it makes us think that we have a choice, and we really don't. So I'm going to say this, when the Lord tells us to do something, we should do it, no matter what. And when they were, you know, here we see them going to their homeland, Bethlehem, going there. How hard it was for them. How hard it was for Mary being, you know, in almost her ninth month, basically, close to there, to ride this thing for days and days and miles and miles. It never says, and I don't know if she did, it never says she... complained or anything. They just did it. She followed her husband. It's a good lesson there. The Spirit of the Lord was upon them. Every time God will ask us to do something, the Spirit of God will be with us to help us, to encourage us. It doesn't mean that you won't have some hard turns or some difficult decisions. But what does it mean is that God will be with us no matter what. No matter what's going on, that God will sustain us, that God will provide for us, that God will be there for us. And when they got there, you know, she was with child, they had to hurry up, find a place, they got this little inn, just a roof and a few walls, with animals, farm animals. Got in there, and she had Jesus, our Savior. They took him and they wrapped him up in swaddling clothes and they put him in, you know, a trough type thing. His beginnings were in a trough, wood trough, and his ending upon the earth was on a cross of wood beam. And it says the angel of the Lord went out to the shepherds that were close. It always has floored me that God, didn't go to, you know, Pharaoh, didn't go to the leaders, didn't go to the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the leaders. But they went to the lowest of lowest of people, shepherds. They were considered the lowest of people as far as with any occupation. And they went to the shepherds, and they heralded out the great news that our Savior was born. And it says the shepherds went, and found Jesus. Bowed to him, saw him, and their eyes saw him. What an amazing thing. And it says they left and they heralded that out to the king. They preached that out, that Jesus, the Savior of the world, had been born. See, God will use whoever he wants to use to declare his word to the lost and dying generation. God will use whatever church he wants to use. God will use whatever individual he wants to use. God will use whatever child he wants to use, whatever elderly person he wants to use, whoever is open to the things of God, who would not back down from the truth of the gospel. And they declare that Jesus, the Savior of the world, glory to God, the glory of our God, Jesus had been born upon the earth. Praise God, just declaring it forth. We need to declare that Jesus was born, but also declare that he died upon the cross for us as we celebrated for Easter, the victory. See, if it doesn't come from God's people, it will not come from anybody. And what the devil will do, if he can shut up the generation from declaring Jesus as Lord, Jesus that he came, Jesus that he died on the cross, Jesus that he's sitting on the right hand of the Father, Jesus that he's the Savior of the world, if he can shut us up, he hath the world. But let us declare this day that our Lord and Savior was born. He's Emmanuel, God with us forever. Praise be unto our God. He's the God that came for us, and he's the God that lives forever as he sits next to the Father, declaring the praises of his Father unto us. Praise God. Praise God. I want you to turn to one last scripture. What a God we serve as we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior. Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. Look at this. Look at verse 20. This is when the angel had to go to Joseph, who's about to give up Mary, because she thought she cheated on him. And this is what happened. Verse 20, it said, while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, the son of David, fear not to take unto you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, Savior, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us, Emmanuel, people. They declared his name Emmanuel. And let's turn to Isaiah chapter 7, last scripture. Emmanuel, God with us, people. Emmanuel. Thank you, Lord. Even in Isaiah, it declares, in verse 14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. This is a prophecy that was given. Look, our Savior was born. They call him Emmanuel. It means God with us. God with us. When Jesus was born, when 2,000 years ago, he walked the earth for 33 and a half years, God was with him. But when he died on the cross, from this day forward, whoever accepts him is Emmanuel in their heart. God with us. Just as they can declare it when he walked the earth, we can declare it as we walk the earth this day, that Emmanuel, God with us, Emmanuel, Jesus, lives in us. He was born 2,000 years ago, and he lives today. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. What a God is there. Praise God that He is in charge of all things and is working things out for all our good. As the scripture says, John 3:16, people, we love that scripture. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not let perish, but have what? Everlasting life. As it says in 2 Corinthians, it is a gift that was given unto us. That means we didn't earn it. There's nothing we can do to accept it and be in goodwill with God. He gave it to us. It's like you just sit there and somebody comes and just gives you $1,000. And you just go, why? Just because. Now everybody would like that, I know. You shake your head, yes, that's good. Nothing wrong with that. Amen. Amen. A gift that God has given unto us. Don't forget it. Son, Tuesday morning as you wake up, tell Jesus, tell the Father how much you love Him, and thank the Father for the gift. Thank Him, because He didn't have to do it. He didn't have to. Yeah, but, you know, you think of somebody that you do something for them, and they don't even say thank you, and you think that's a thankless person. We want to be a faithful and talking to God. Praise God. You may stand, please. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. As every head is bowed, if you don't mind, just a thank you. I want to ask you that are here a very important question, and I want to ask all those that are watching on Facebook. Have you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? If you have not, and you'd like to do so, accept Him. The greatest gift ever given to mankind. If you'd like to do that, would you raise your hand in this audience here to this day? Just check to make sure. I see one person that has raised their hand. Anyone else? Anyone else? Let's all pray together. We have someone that has raised their hand, and we want to make sure. Please repeat after me, okay? Say, Heavenly Father, I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. I accept you as my Lord and as my God. I believe that you died on the cross, you rose again from the dead, and you're seated at the right hand of the Father. I accept you as my Lord, my God, and my King. Your will be done in my heart and in my life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may look this way. Look, I want to thank you, first of all, Jelaine and I, for coming today. We pray the blessings of God upon your life, but also we pray that you have a great Christmas. You know, I mean, one of the best. When you wake up, think about your Lord. Think about the gift. Go back and read that scripture in 2 Corinthians and say, Lord, I thank you for the gift. But we want to wish you and your family and your children and your grandchildren, all of you, a very Merry Christmas. And we pray it is the best year. Eat all the food that you want to eat. Don't worry about calories. Don't worry about sugar. You just get back on your diet on the 26th. Everybody said, okay. Don't drink a Dr. Pepper, drink a Coke, whatever you want to do. But we pray you have a great day. And we love you. We appreciate you. And we thank God for it.